You may be seated. Good morning again. Last week, we looked at the parable of the sower, and we discussed what it meant to be kingdom soil. Kingdom soil is simply soil that receives the word of God and lets it grow. And what makes that soil worthy has nothing to do with the soil, but with the sower. This week, we're looking at two parables, the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed. We're continuing to look at what the kingdom of God means for us here and now. And these two parables have something to say about our part in God's kingdom. The parable of the growing seed is only found in Mark, while the parable of the mustard seed has parallels in both Matthew and Luke. However, these two parables are the only two parables that Mark directly connects to the kingdom of God, and he places both of them right after the parable of the sower. So we're going to start by looking at the growing seed. Now, there have been a number of different interpretations of this parable over the course of Christianity, and the variation in interpretation has typically depended on what elements of the parable get emphasized. So if the focus of the parable is the seed, we could say that this parable is about confidence in proclaiming the word and assurance that God will bring the harvest. Or if the focus is the sower, we could say that the parable is about human activity or inactivity, but then that begs the question, who is the sower? Is the sower a human or God, like in the parable of the sower? If the focus is growth itself, then the parable becomes about the growth and development of the kingdom. But as New Testament scholar Klein Snodgrass, and as I'm sure you've guessed, you're going to be hearing quite a bit from him through this sermon series. He happens to be one of the leading experts on parables. Klein points out that to focus on only one element of the parable distorts its meaning. We must look at the whole process that's narrated by the parable. And so parables aren't meant to be complete pictures or complete theologies. They're meant to be a snapshot to tell us something important we need to know. So not every element of the parable means something, but rather the whole process of the parable gives us its meaning. So this parable is not about the seed or the farmer or the earth, but instead the kingdom of God is like the entire process that's presented. The farmer who sows goes about his life, the earth produces a plant and its fruit, and then the harvest comes. So what does this whole thing mean? There's two clues in this passage that can help, I think, aid in our understanding of it. In verse 28, it says, all by itself, the soil produces grain. Now, the Greek word that's been translated here as all by itself is automate. Sound familiar? Automate is used in Greek when something happens spontaneously, that is, without human intervention, and it's where we get our English word automatically. The earth produces automatically. Just as the growth of the plant happens without intervention, the kingdom of God is like a process that happens automatically and will come to harvest with or without human intervention. What does that mean? It means that the kingdom of God does not depend on human effort, but that does not make human effort unimportant, as we'll see in our parable of the mustard seed. This is really good news. Our second clue to understanding this parable is in verse 29. It says, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. This verse, especially the words, he puts a sickle to it, are a clear allusion to Joel 3:13, which we read in our Old Testament reading today. Sickle and harvest language are often used to point to judgment, and so Jesus uses this allusion to Joel 3 to point to the final judgment, that is the harvest, that will come when the kingdom work has come to completion. Now, many Jews in Jesus' time were really anxious for this day of judgment to come, for God to come and pronounce judgment against their enemies and restore God's people. Jesus is assuring those listening that such a day would come, but also indicating that there would be an interval of time between his life and the events of the end time. He makes this clear by alluding to the passage of time between the planting of the seed and the harvest in verse 27, where it says, "Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how." So why would he want to make that clear? Why would he want to make that passage of time an important part of this parable? Well, Jesus has been walking around announcing that the kingdom of God is at hand, and people listening have been saying, okay, but where? Because they didn't see the immediate change they were hoping for. You see, they thought when the Messiah came, he would bring all of what we just read in Joel immediately. Like, Messiah comes, and boom, comes the judgment of God. You see, their expectation was different than what Jesus was actually doing. People wanted to know where this supposed kingdom of God was. And I wonder how many times maybe we felt the same way. And so Jesus answers this question with a parable. The kingdom of God is now and not yet. The kingdom has begun, but has not come to completion, and it'll take some time before it does. But this parable is not just about the passage of time between the inauguration of the kingdom and its completion. It has something to say about our part in the kingdom as well. The kingdom process has already begun with the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, and it will reach its goal. We can't mess it up, and that's really good news. Humans do not bring the kingdom. We are servants of it. This, however, does not mean that we are passive servants. Just because we aren't the ones who bring the kingdom does not mean we shouldn't be actively serving the kingdom. But we can rest easy that God is in control. And if God is the one bringing God's kingdom, this means we don't need to worry about the results of our evangelism, but simply that we do evangelize. If people respond to God in ways different than we do or did, that's okay, because we don't need to control how the kingdom grows. We don't need to be anxious because we can rest knowing that God is at work even in people who look and worship differently than we do. We're called to serve the kingdom, not control it. And just like God, who sows seeds in every soil, so too should we. We should be scattering seeds everywhere, not just the places that are comfortable or that we can control, but in places that are different and unsure and over which we have no control of the outcome. The moment we try to determine which soil we should scatter seed in, we are trying to control the kingdom instead of serve it. We scatter the seed, but God makes it grow. So we know that we're called to scatter seeds in the kingdom, even if we don't control how they grow. So what about those seeds? What kinds of seeds should we be scattering? Our parable of the mustard seed might help us to answer that question. You see, in Jesus' time, mustard seeds were proverbially known for their small size, even though there were other seeds that were even smaller. A mustard seed is about 1 millimeter in diameter, and it takes over 700 seeds just to equal 1 gram. That's really small. The black mustard plant, which is what scholars believe Jesus is referring to when he talks about the mustard seed, germinates in 5 days and grows to be 10 feet tall, like I was telling the kids. And it would have these really large leaves that the birds would be attracted to because of the shade it provided and also because of its seeds. Just like our parable of the growing seed, this parable's interpretation comes from understanding that the kingdom of God is like the entire process described in the parable. That is, the kingdom of God begins as something that seems small and insignificant and grows to become something quite large. Jesus was answering the same question as before: where? Where is this kingdom of God that you proclaim, Jesus? The kingdom is present, even if it is hidden or unnoticed or ignored or seems small. It is present, and it will come to its fullness. Now, even though the parable of the mustard seed is about the kingdom of God as a whole, it has application to our spiritual lives and our part in the kingdom of God. We should not disparage small beginnings in the kingdom. How often have we failed to see seeds that have been planted by God through others or even ourselves? Klein Snodgrass says it this way: we should not doubt what God can do and does do with small beginnings. We may see the seeds we have to offer as too small or insignificant, but God can take our small offerings and grow them beyond our wildest imagination. We may think we have nothing to offer, that we couldn't make a big difference, and so why try? But God plants seeds through us in our own seemingly mundane everyday lives. Another theologian describes the kingdom this way: the ongoing inbreaking of the kingdom of God continues in the ordinary. When a child reluctant to go to church camp experiences God's love in the activities and companions encountered during his week away, when a youth sees God in her neighbors during a mission trip, when an estranged sibling's forgiveness reunites a family long torn apart, we participate when we teach Sunday school or share bags of groceries with our neighbors in need or accompany and pray for those who are sick. We participate in the ongoing inbreaking of the kingdom of heaven through our daily ministries, even though we may never really know if what we do or say makes a difference in the lives of others. The parable of the mustard seed should fuel our hope that the small, seemingly insignificant, not only matters, but makes a difference and is being used by God in the bringing of his kingdom. God takes our small contributions and orchestrates them into a big, beautiful symphony. And so I want to show you an example of what I think that could look like. The kingdom of God is like a flash mob singing the hallelujah chorus in a mall. It's surprising and unexpected and seemingly hidden, but when everyone sings their small part, it becomes a magnificent chorus of God's praises that invites those around it to join in and sing along. Where is God calling you to scatter seed? And where is God calling you to let Him do the growing? Friends, live in mustard seed hope that the small seeds we scatter, God will use in big ways. And rest in the peace of knowing that although we scatter the seeds, God makes them grow. Let's pray. God of small seeds and mighty plants, you take our meager lives and with your love cause them to produce acts of loving kindness for you in this world. You hear our cries and find us when we are lost and wandering in fear, and you bring us home so that we may be made whole, rejoicing in your goodness. Help us to joyfully serve you all our days, knowing that you are watching over us. Thank you that you are building your kingdom and that you ask us to join in this work. Give us what we need to serve you and serve our neighbor well. And thank you that we can rest easy knowing that you are at work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.